We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You know how everything seems like a good idea after you've had a few? That's this show. Riding in my car, and I'm listening to the radio. It's time for Dukes and Bell.
Oh, someone told me it's the Black Beverly Hills. Is that true?
Driving in Atlanta just got a whole lot more bearable.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Hi, everybody. Carl Dukes and Mike Bell. The names that mean goodness.
Say my name, you know who I am.
Carl Dukes.
I drink, and I know things.
Oh, don't question my authority, thanks.
King Kong ain't got on me.
Sometimes you just gotta call somebody, and I'm not ashamed to say it. You know,
And Mike Bell.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you.
Hope you guess my name.
Bring a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes till somebody passes out, and then bring one every 10 minutes, right?
Get ready for the best 5 hours of your life.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is Dukes and Bell.
You know what? Why don't we start doing the stuff that other guys have done on other radio shows around the country?
No.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta, what is going on? It is Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
Hey, man.
Happy Thursday. We got a big show for you guys and lots to talk about today. Mike, as we get started, I tweeted out a little bit earlier today, and I want to ask you this question because now we are, what is this, 9? Is this 10 weeks at home for us? I'm just asking.
I've lost track, honestly, bro. It's kind of like Tom Hanks on Castaway with the stick marks on the rock. I've completely lost track.
All right.
I'm about to quit Twitter. I'm about to quit social. I'm about to quit everything. I'm just going to go play golf, drink beer in the pool, smoke my cigars, and that's it. I'm out, brother. I even suggested today, Carl, let me get what grinds my gears off my chest, and we'll get on with it. I even suggested today in a lighthearted vein. And then Twitter, you can't even explain that. It's almost like you have to have a disclaimer on everything. I said, hey, how about we get Tom Hanks and Denzel to run for president? And even that goes sideways. Two of the most likable human beings on the planet. I can't even get a consensus on that. So I'm about to quit again.
I understand. And this will be the, hold on, 1, 2, 3. This will be the 8th time that Mike has quit Twitter.
Well, what? Time out. Third, once it was imposed by management, this will be the 3rd time that I've quit social.
All right, the 8th time you've threatened to quit then.
Yes, I threatened to quit it all the time.
I tweeted out today, because here's my question, and I'm wondering, because no matter how long you've been at home, from the start of this, whether it was early March, whether your company waited, or your situation, and you were home maybe in the middle or late March, but we've all been home for the most part still, and you know, as we're working our way back, I know some of you are out there working, and the first responders and you know, first line people have always been out there. I just remember that when we first started this, there was a rationing of a lot of things, like toilet paper. And people were going crazy. And Mike, you remember our conversations back in March. Can you find toilet paper? And right. I only bring this up to say, is there still a toilet paper shortage? Because, you know, I went to the store a couple of weeks ago, and it was like, oh, no problem. It was back. People weren't freaking out. People weren't stockpiling. And then today, I'm like, okay, why is there no toilet paper? And then I went to Publix. I went to Kroger. No toilet paper. So I asked on Twitter. I was like, is there still a shortage going on? What is the deal? Is there?
Is there a problem in the supply chain at times? I know that at times getting your hands on some quality protein has been an issue because some of the meat suppliers have been some hot spots in the Midwest, and that was at some spots it was some slim pickings for a couple of weeks. I don't know if that's abated because that's my wife's department. Not to be sexist, she doesn't let me buy the groceries. But I know that there are still we are on a very thin ply toilet paper, but I use Tuck's pads, Carl. That's my play anyway. It's like baby wipes, but even better.
I asked the question. So many people hit me up, you know, Costco, Walgreens, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, now y'all want to tell me. Here's the deal, though. We shouldn't, at 10 weeks into this, okay, maybe longer for many of you, we shouldn't be having a toilet paper shortage is all I'm saying, all right? We should be moving slowly out of this thing and having all the products that we need, yet I'm still having trouble finding some of this stuff. And I only put it out there because I know I'm not the only one. And then a guy hit me up on Twitter, speaking of social media, Mike, and you can follow us, Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up, see Dukes, the radio show, Dukes and Bell 929. He says, my wife and I put bundles together. And we started this before the pandemic. And then he sends you these amazing pictures. It's like washing powder, toothpaste, toilet paper, paper towels.
Right.
And so now I feel like I'm, you know, on the street. Yo, how much? How much for that bundle? You know? So I don't know if I'm the only one still searching at times, but I don't understand that. I don't get it. If somebody has the answer, hit us up on social media. At this point in this pandemic, we should not be searching for toilet paper. It should be readily available for us when we go shopping. That's all I'm saying. All right.
Right. Now, again, you and I are going to be like Lord of the Flies or, you know, Mel Gibson and The Road Warrior, and we're going to be out there, you know, with a shotgun trying to find some black market toilet paper. I don't think we're getting to that point. I never understood the obsession with toilet paper. There's lots of things you can substitute, but apparently I was in the minority on that argument.
All right, man. We got a lot to talk about, lots to get to today. Along the way, a couple of guests will stop by. One of our favorite guys, Dave O'Brien, to talk about where baseball is. Here's what I think, by the way. There is a lot being said, and even more was said last night, and there's more being said today by the players who basically said, get out of here with that offer.
Yeah, Max Scherzer was like, look me in one of my multicolored eyeballs and tell me that you guys are not making money. You know, I know that a lot of folks out there, and we've seen it in restaurants, we've seen it in universities, you know, just how cash flow works. And again, if it's that rough for the Major League Baseball owners, then they can come clean with it as well. Then they can earn some degree of empathy. I just think they're playing, Carl, into the hands. It's so easy. The players are playing right in the hands of the owners. Although Scherzer was basically cryptic, but almost came close to saying, open the books in his comments.
And it's a fair statement. And again, as I said from the start, they've never done it. This has always been a contention when you talk about labor issues in baseball. But Dave O'Brien's going to stop by coming up next hour. So he covers the Braves, guys. If you've never had a chance to read Dave, writes for The Athletic now, longtime AJC guy as well. But he does a great job of covering baseball. So we'll get his perspective on this. And, you know, at the end of the day, again, we can argue, you know, and I'll tell you this. You know, I've had guys say, I ain't doing it. And I've had friends who've had monster contracts in front of them. I'm not going to do it.
Right.
You're not going to pass up the money. You're just not. And Major League Baseball players are not going to pass up the chance to play and make their money, and the owners are not going to pass up a chance to play and make their money. So we will get a deal. I truly feel that way. But right now, there's a lot of posturing going on. Also, today, a little bit later on, we're going to talk to our buddy John McClain, longtime NFL writer. We'll get his thoughts on where the league is, Mike, and what the owners are actually going to vote on as they get together with this big video conference. And you know, the NFL, the state of the league right now. So John's going to join us in the 4 o'clock hour. So lots to get to here today. But as we start with baseball, I do want to pose this question to you because I think it's fair with what you're hearing and the sentiment from both sides. Owners are saying, poo poo, you guys. The players are saying, there's no way we're playing under these conditions. Not only are we taking a pay cut, we're taking a second pay cut. Do you believe in your heart of hearts, Mike Bell, right now, that this is going to be the one sport that we don't see come back?
I don't know. That's a great, you know, I'm leaning towards no. And don't forget, guys, whatever happens this year, we got their CBA wraps up in 2021. So this is like the first shots of another strike. It's either going to be a lockout or a strike, and the owners will not lock them out. They'll force the players to strike. So again, they'll be the bad guys. The same things that Tom Glavine and Shipper have talked about in their recent interviews about the optics. So I know, as we said, with everybody unemployed and all the stuff, the stresses, it's hard to support, you know, rich baseball players. And again, it's a really, really finessed argument. You got to look one layer below, I think, and the owners know that most fans won't do that.
Yeah, Max Scherzer, as Mike was talking about, he basically put a tweet out there and wrote out a nice note, but then took a screenshot of it,
right,
and said, after discussing the latest developments with the rest of the players, there's no reason to engage with MLB in any further compensation reductions. So he goes on to say, we have previously negotiated a pay cut in the version of a prorated salaries, and there's no justification to accept a second pay cut based upon the current information the union has received. And as Mike said, the cryptic thing at the end of this note that Max Scherzer put out there, and again, one of the best pitchers in the game, one of the highest paid guys, making his voice heard, saying that I'm glad to hear players voicing the same viewpoint and believe, quote, MLB's economic strategy would completely change if all documentation were to become public information. That's the part, Mike, that Mike's talking about. And that's the part that won't become public information. Because, again, if you're telling me I'm about to lose $7 billion, all right, can you show me how? Because I'd like to know, you know?
Well, you hear about, and I mentioned yesterday, because that's the first one that was a big school and a big Power 5 conference. Stanford losing what? They're down $267 million. And, you know, their endowment's got to be in the, if it's not a billion, it's around that. So you think about how, you know, we're finding out that how universities run and how, you know, the cash flow. And, again, I think there's always people out there that go, well, you know, the owners, you know, they've got all the money. They could afford these contracts. And so if they can, open the books. Otherwise, I mean, if the owners are really hemorrhaging money the way that so many other people are, from the guy that owns the restaurant around the corner to a major university, just prove it. And then we can all get on with our lives, have some transparency. We only know that the NFL makes big money from what the Green Bay Packers have to disclose since they're publicly traded.
Yeah, I think, you know, too, this is part of the common denominator is there are a majority of guys in Major League Baseball that are not the highest paid guys. There are very few Max Scherzers. There are very few Mike Trouts. There are very few Bryce Harpers in Major League Baseball. But, Mike, those guys have to lead the way. And that's the difficult part of this. You can't have a guy that is a medium to average player in the league who's making, don't get me wrong, still a lot of money. But a guy that's making $300,000 or $400,000, okay, and doesn't have the clout or the voice of some of the other stars in the league to affect change. And the point that I'm making is all these guys who are like, well, yeah, a majority of the guys, you know, would take this deal simply because they're going to get paid and they don't get paid those dollars. Yeah, but long term, it's always the big voices and it's always the highest paid guys who affect change. So you need the Scherzers of the world. You need the Trouts of the world to come out and speak out if they feel like this is not going to be fair. Even though they're making the most money, they still set the market for the low-end guys because the more they make on the high end, the more those low-end guys make, and that average continues to go up. You told me a couple of weeks ago, average baseball salary is what, $4
million? $4 million, you know, and even then, we're talking about, you know, obviously the tip of the big earners when you talk about the Trouts and the Scherzers, you know, the Verlanders, those guys. But think about it, and we mentioned it yesterday, the CBA with the NFL. I would imagine baseball players, you know, not everybody who went to play in Major League Baseball came out of college. I'm not saying they're dodos, but a lot of these guys just kind of, you know, checks in the, oh, they got the check in direct deposit, okay. How many NFL players even read what the league threw at them? I mean, what their players union told them what to do, right? Here's the proposal. How many of those guys actually looked at it? You know what I mean? Because remember, it was close. A lot of people kind of had buyer's remorse after they voted one way or the other. In baseball, I don't think it's that complicated. All these guys, from the guy who makes the least to the most, should realize the owners are out to screw them. End of story.
404-741-0929. It is the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. You can always text the show as we come your way live from our mobile Kia studios, brought to you and driven by Kia. For more info, visit KiaDealers.com. Radio.com is the app, guys. It's free, and you can take it with you wherever you go. Download it to all of your devices, and make sure you're teaching your smart speakers how to listen to us. We've been saying that for weeks now. We hope you're on point. We hope you guys have done that. But if you haven't, we want to remind you that you can, and whether you have Google or Alexa or whatever it is, you just teach them to listen to us by saying, you know, listen to 92.9 The Game, listen to Dukes and Bell, and it will do just that. Hold on real quick.
Alexa off.
See, my Alexa's trained. She's trained right there. All right,
you know,
man.
I don't do that. I still haven't gotten that yet. Everybody says, it's like when I got my iPhone and my buddy Scott was like, hey, welcome to 2007. I'm so technically unsavvy. I'm so far behind the eight ball on all that.
Oh, man. She's great.
So you come in like, Alexa, dim the lights. Play some Barry White. You do all that stuff?
Yeah, man. I mean, like right now, she's in my office. Let me see if I can hold her up here. Hold on. Alexa, what's the weather?
Right now in Marietta, it's 75 degrees Fahrenheit with mostly cloudy skies. Today's forecast has lots of clouds and thunderstorms, with a high of 81 degrees and a low of 64 degrees. Would you like to know the weather for this weekend?
No, that's enough, Alexa. I mean, Carl, that's the thing. I always wanted to do it with like a hot Russian accent. Can they do that? I want to have my Alexa really sound like, you know, welcome home, baby. Like, make it sound like Natasha from like Boris, you know, on the Rocky and Bullwinkle.
I don't know. They used to have voices. No, what was that?
Waze and GPS. You could program the voice to have an English accent, something like that.
Well, I had a boy band on there for a while just to mess with my daughter. It was funny. Turn left. turn right. It just make me laugh. But no, man, the only problem I have with Alexa, and I don't even know how we got into this conversation. Oh, you are not savvy, is sometimes when you ask her things and then she hits you back, I don't understand. And then you just want to like argue with her. What do you mean you don't understand? Play it. I can't play that. I can't find it. And then you're having this conversation with this artificial intelligence device, and it just makes you laugh. Anyways, man, you got to get on one. You got to get one. They're very cool, Mike. You got to get one. All right, man, 404-741-0929. Coming up, as we mentioned, we will get a chance to talk to Dave O'Brien more about this baseball situation. Guys, it's top of mind because they're the one sport really right now that I don't think has any direction. NFL, we kind of know where they're going. College football, we see it moving. You see where MLS is headed. You can see NBA moving. Where's Major League Baseball going? When you got its biggest star saying, we are not going to take another salary reduction. All right, coming back, we'll hit some headlines. We got racing. We got Phil speaking more on the match. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Radio.com. It is Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mike Bell, we got a chance to hear from Kirby Smart today. So, dog fans, stick around. We'll tell you what Kirby had to say and let you hear some of the things he had to say today in Athens as he spoke for the first time
since
this pandemic started.
Carl, guess what?
I'm sorry?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, what's up?
I'm sorry to cut you off. You just mentioned Kirby. Kirby might be grabbing a Trojan.
I'm sorry?
Reports out of Southern California that Kirby might be getting a transfer from the USC Trojans, JT Daniels.
Very nice.
Jack McGuire. I apologize. Just as you were mentioning Kirby, this popped up on my screen from my buddy Andy, who's a USC alum. But yeah, JT Daniels, I believe, is a pocket passer. Okay. And was at USC and had some reps for them. But apparently there's at least reports out of Southern California from two media sources that he could be transferring to Athens.
Interesting. Yeah, I like your play on words there. Kirby could be grabbing a Trojan.
That's what I tweeted. I'm just trying to be clever. Trying.
But he did talk about Dog Nation. And, you know, one of the things he said today, and I think this is important, we have to have responsibility to make good decisions with social distancing. And I think people, the more that this is going on, and I'm paraphrasing here with Kirby, he says, the last thing we need right now is people to want to have a football season or any athletic season and then to have another flare-up. So he's acknowledging that, you know, even moving forward, we still have to be careful. This is not like a free-for-all and, everything's back to normal. It's not. He says the biggest thing we can do is take care of that by making good decisions and being aware. So, again, Kirby addressing the media today, and we'll let you hear more about that. But, you know, I think what you're going to hear from coaches, for the most part, is how they maneuver their circumstances right now, Mike. I don't think you're going to hear them talk about the normal things that we'd hear at this time of year, which might be, you know, gearing up for SEC Media Days, which is going to be virtual, or, you know, talking about how his offense has changed. Maybe he mentions a few of those things, but, you know, when you don't have the kids on campus, you didn't go through spring ball, and you're not going to see a lot of the kids, at least all of them are not going to show up on June 8th. Right. There's a lot of uncertainty and unknown about what's going to happen with the program as far as those things are concerned. I'm talking about on the field. So I think Kirby's just like many coaches, trying to maneuver where we're at and then how do we get from point A to point B.
Yeah, I know that the SEC and the Power Five, and we'll talk more about the Power Five. Great article by Dennis Dodd, by the way, about how the NCAA could be like deader than Dillinger, man, by this time next year when it comes to like the big you know, Power Five conferences in football and maybe every other sport. But yeah, I just think, you know, you got to be careful. We've talked about, you know, the numbers, the odds. You got to do the testing, make sure these kids don't have, you know, how many times we joke around, well, not joke around, because it sometimes winds up in tragedy when there's a high school player that has a pre-existing condition that isn't diagnosed. So you got to be so careful about all that. I know they've talked about everybody who comes into the athletic facility is going to be tested. But then, you know, you still got to keep ramping up the testing because you hear so much about, you know, the asymptomatic folks out there. So I'm with you. A lot of moving parts. And then, of course, the quarantine option for when if somebody does test positive. How do you move forward with that?
Kirby Smart, more on what he had to say today coming up as part of our dog report at 4 o'clock. It is Dukes and Bell. Craig's behind the glass. Back at the studio making all things go. Craig, appreciate you. And Bo Morgan, executive producer. Hit some headlines.
Strap in, youngins.
Hitting the headlines
with Dukes and Bell.
And Mike, I do want to get into that Power 5 conversation because I do think that is where this is going. I agree with you. I don't know how long it's going to happen or when it'll happen, but I do think that is something that a lot of people who are not paying attention to what's happening with college football, even us getting back to college football, is going to be all about the Power Fives. It's not about the NCAA. It's not about Mark Emmert. So I'm with you on this. I think that it's a big discussion that's being had behind closed doors right now because other people we're dealing with so much other stuff, but I do think we're moving in that direction.
Well, just real quick, and I will talk more about Dennis Dodd's article. He really just nails it, goes down and talks to a bunch of people from all across the country about this, how the NCAA hasn't done its job, how they've, you know, a lot of people are upset about how they're not really enforcing the rules that for years that they've been over backwards to make life miserable for big programs, and now they're just giving, passing out, like, you know, like tisk tisk parking tickets. And then, of course, Carl, you've got the money component. They make $1 billion off March Madness, you know, and the, you know, Power Five say, but that's $1 billion for us because what are we getting for the return on our investment with the NCAA? Yeah. Nothing. You know, and again, and in the court of public opinion, they're less than zero right now.
So let's start with one thing that Kirby did say today, and I think people are asking this question. Kirby, you know, they're not asking Kirby directly, but with him being the head football coach, if Kirby said, hey, we need our fans at these games, it's going to go a long way. He was answering the question about, are we going to have fans at games?
They enjoy meeting.
That's one of those decisions that I'm referring to the experts on. And what I found is everything we think that's going to happen can change based on what goes on from now till then. You know, are players coming back? Are there going to be any spikes? Is anything going to happen in July? We'll know a lot more about the season, people in the stands, which I know you're asking about, for September when that comes.
Okay. So, Mike, he'll leave it to the experts, and rightfully so. You know, this is where – football coaches get, and no disrespect to Kirby, this is across the board, they get really dumb. I don't know anything. I'm not going to say anything. This could put my program or my kids in jeopardy, and I'm going to leave it to the experts. And he's saying the right thing. This is not going to be, again, a Kirby decision. He's not going to say, hey, Greg, you know, Greg McGarity, get our fans in the stands. That this is a bigger decision than that. So I do agree with what he had to say, and as I said, more with Kirby, what he had to talk about today. Meanwhile, Gary Bettman, Mike, NHL, they've got a plan, and here's Bettman talking about the hub cities aspect of this.
I'm going to want to see, A, what the state of COVID-19 is in the communities we're considering, because obviously we reduce the risk of any of our personnel getting infected if we're in a place that has very little COVID, the availability of testing, and the issues relative to moving personnel across the border, either to or from Canada, from the United States.
So this hub, these hub cities, if you're not familiar, it's part of the NHL plan. This is very similar to what the NBA and MLS is talking about. Not one particular city, but you'll have a couple of hub cities, one for the Eastern Conference, one for the Western Conference. They haven't quite figured that out, where those are going to be, and that's why Gary Bettman was laying that out, Mike.
Yeah, I think that you've got a league which understands that they've just like NBA, they've got to get things rolling sooner than later. They've got some other considerations because a large portion of their players play across the border. So all that you just laid out there with the hub cities and just get it in. I mean, I wouldn't have been ironic if we could have been a piece of that action in Atlanta.
I know. I know.
It's not going to happen. But yeah, I mean, I'm so excited. Like, if you're going to watch NASCAR right now, and again, they're getting great numbers, right? Imagine when you get some hockey and you get some playoff hockey and a chance for them to really kind of showcase. Well, baseball is probably shooting itself in the foot.
Speaking of NASCAR, Wednesday night, Charlotte rained out race is going to move to tonight. Again, I've been asking you this, and I know last week we were all kind of, you know, in our own world and enjoying the weekend, but are you going to watch this tonight?
I'll DVR it.
Okay.
I mean, are you going to watch?
I started a series last night.
See, I'm on the tonight is the night we committed to the Epstein documentary on Netflix.
I started it last night.
Which so everybody says is unbelievable. And how, man, oh boy, boy. If that guy died of his own, killing himself in jail in New York, I'd be a monkey's uncle. Everybody's saying it's just unbelievable, the power and the names that he's linked to.
Well, the first episode, it's just going to turn your stomach. It should. and then it sets itself up. But I started that last night, so I'm hooked. That's my point. Right. To your point about DVRing it and NASCAR seeing great numbers, but the Wednesday night Cup Series race at Charlotte Motor Speedway, postponed due to rain, set for tonight, 7 o'clock. It'll be on FS1 if you want to check it out. But we've been saying this, you know, whether we're talking about watching it or not, I think people are starved, and they've been watching more NASCAR than they normally would. As I said to Mike the other day, how do you continue to keep these people? How do you continue to say, hey, once we come out of this 5-6 months, whatever, my 3 months from now, and you're in your regular or back to your norm, are you going to give us this kind of time? And I don't know if NASCAR has showcased its personalities with its racers enough, Mike, to do that. I mean, we say this all the time, and this is like a sidebar conversation, but star power sells. NASCAR star power. Name me the top three racers right now with personality.
Kyle Busch.
Okay.
And Squid, by the way, catch Squid Belly in his Facebook page that he does with Mark Owens. And Squid, jump on here. Give me the name of it. I don't want to screw it up. But
give me the three most personable drivers right now.
Well, I mean, Earnhardtson, he's in the booth. You know, he's doing TV. I mean, it's Kyle Busch, and people love to hate him. I like Harvick, but it's not exactly like he's out there spinning plates in a post-race interview. I mean, who are the personalities right now? Chase, we had Chase on the show. He's a great driver, but he's a low-key kid, too.
He is. But, you know, the thing with Chase, he's got to win more, right?
Right.
That's the other part of this.
He'll be getting up there. Like, he got hosed out of a win, and he's going to be a contender this year. But still, you miss those dynamic personalities, guys you either love to hate, love to love, rooted for, rooted against. Jeff Gordon, you know, Rusty Wallace, Darrell Waltrip. I'm talking about the guys I watched in the 80s and the 90s. It made it so much fun.
Well, that's what it's missing. And I say that NASCAR is being watched right now, and it's getting great numbers. But that aspect to draw me back in and to make me want to watch more is the part. Is Squid there? Is Bo there? No?
Yeah, I'm here, guys.
All right. We'll talk to him in a little bit.
Clint Bowyer is another guy that didn't get mentioned.
Okay,
Kevin Harvick's got a good personality. Kurt Busch. But one thing that's came out of this whole pandemic and guys coming back is Chase Elliott has kind of came out of his shell a little bit. The whole thing with Kyle Busch, and he won the truck series. He mocked Kyle Busch, who he beat in the truck series 2 nights ago by doing Kyle's his little bow that he does every time he wins a race. So I think personalities are starting to come through a little bit more, and they need this Kyle Busch-Chase Elliott rivalry, which will really boost because it's good versus evil in some people's eyes.
It is totally good versus evil. I agree, brother. But they do need more of that because that's what made it so good, Carl, back in the day, to your point.
All right, man, it's Dukes and Bell. More with Bo Morgan coming up a little bit later with Yeah Man, No Man. We're going to talk to Atlanta United's J.J. Williams. We'll get his thoughts on where he's at, where the club's at, and does he like this idea that's being proposed? It's all on the way on Dukes and Bell. You go back a couple of years, and J.J. Williams was doing the thing, Mike, at Kentucky. We're going to talk to him. He is part of Atlanta United here on Dukes and Bell, and we're all waiting patiently, some of us, to get soccer back and certainly MLS back here in our city. JJ joins us on the WaitForward.com hotline. You scored 18 goals in college that third year. What was your third most in the nation that year? And you were a finalist for the best soccer player in the country. Talk about that, man, because I mean, we talk to a lot of guys that have international experience. It's interesting to hear from the college perspective and what your experience was like in the U.S.
Yeah, man. I mean, it was great because honestly, as good as it may sound, I mean, my teammates at Kentucky, I mean, I had a really good team that year, you know, and they put me in some excellent spots to be successful. I mean, the program is fantastic. The coaching staff, they really, they coached me up from when I got there, you know, coming in freshman year, you know, every step that you take, coming from club, I was in an academy system, so coming from club and then going to college, it was a big step. And then going from college to pros, I mean, it's a big step too. So it was just it was really good because it's nice to see the transfer from the next step to the next level. You know, it's good to see it pay off. It's good to see that you can step up and play at that level. And, you know, and it was good for it to happen in college, and I'm waiting to take that next step and show what I can really do here at the MLS, so.
He's only 22 years of age. J.J. Williams with us, and again, came up with Columbus. And I know we talked to our guy, Jason Longshore, who covers the team, and he's like, this is like the best best possible outcome for Atlanta because you're part of Generation Adidas and how it works with the money, which my head was spinning. What, explain to the listeners, what does being a part of a Generation Adidas mean?
Yeah, so, I mean, I left school early, and Generation Adidas, it signs, I think it's seven guys, whatever it is each year, to these contracts to leave early, and essentially it's like a lottery pick, you know. It's for you to leave early, and you don't count towards team cap. So essentially you're a free player. And so I thought, you know, for everywhere for me to end up, I knew that some teams were going to be jumping at it, but for me to end up at such a great club and really close to home for me, I'm only in Alabama, so it really is a dream place for me here.
18th pick by Columbus Crew. And that's what JJ's talking about. So, you know, the risk for him, the reward, should I say, for both the team, the club, and JJ are very high. Because as you said, if he's able to showcase his skills here, he'll go on to bigger and better things. I want to really quick go back to your time at Kentucky, just because I just saw this and I was like, whoa, 9 game winners. So you got that clutch gene, huh?
Well, you know, I mean, that's why you play the game, right? I mean, you want the ball. That's what I'm saying. I mean, you want the ball in those big moments. You want your name to be up in all the highlights. You know, if you take the last shot. I mean, I remember it was Jordan who said, you know, with this last dance and everything going on, you take the last shot. I mean, if you miss it, you don't want it to be anybody else except for you. So, I mean, you put the team on your back when you have to.
You can't miss a shot. You don't take – shoot your shot, man. And by the way, Carl, with our man Joseph Martinez, you know, a former MVP out with the injury, we want you to shoot early and often, JJ, when you get your shot. So we've been talking to all the guys, and unfortunately all we got to see was a little CONCACAF, and then the 2 games. Carl and I were up in Nashville. We were here at Mercedes-Benz. JJ Williams from United joins us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. What has your experience been so far? Well, I mean, small sample size, but what do you like so far with Atlanta United?
I mean, it's been amazing. This is a club, like, whenever, it's not just, you know, me talking since I'm here, but this is a club that everybody from the South has been waiting for a really long time, and this has been a dream for me, you know, being able to be from the South, be from right down the road in Alabama, to have a club, not just a professional club, but a club of this caliber. I mean, coming into the league and start winning straight away, I mean, there's nothing like it, and it's one thing seeing it from an outside perspective, and then there's another thing being in the club. I mean, the coaching staff, the teammates that you're around, I mean, you're playing with some of the best players in the league. So just being able to be on the same field as them and then kind of learn from them. I haven't been able to do too much in terms of team setting so far because I was only with them about a week prior, but I really can't wait to get back started. You know, it's very exciting. It's very, very exciting to be a part of a culture and a group that's like this, so can't wait.
JJ, where are you at now? You're in Bama?
No, I'm in Georgia.
You're here. Okay.
We just got done with training. Yep, we got done with training not too long ago, so just moving in the apartment and everything.
So where were you when the pandemic started, and were you, have you been here the entire time, or have you been going, were you back and forth a couple of places?
I was really, the whole time, I was in Atlanta because we were up here getting ready for games, and then the pandemic started, and we headed down to, Alabama. It's only about 2 hours, 2.5 hours away. That's where my parents are. And really, I've just been there, and it's been good because before all this started, I didn't have to buy a place, or I didn't have to get a place. So,
yeah.
for me to be able to save on that rent a little bit, you know,
save your money.
I'm all for that.
I'm with you on that.
That's awesome, man. So JJ Williams joins us here, guys, from Atlanta United, as we just talked about, joining the squad, and now we're just waiting to see how it's going to go. Do you like this idea of a tournament to kind of get everyone's feet wet and kind of see how it's going to work in Orlando?
Yeah, you know, there's a bunch of moving pieces around it, and there are pros and cons to everything that's going on, but for me, I mean, one of the best parts about it is just playing again, you know, being a young player and being back in this environment with everybody that's working as hard as we are, trying to get back ready, trying to do everything we can to play games. I mean, that's the most exciting part for me, is just trying to salvage somewhat of the season, because for however situations may have been, you know, this is kind of my next step, you know, here, and then whatever happens going on beyond here. So
I think for everybody, if I can speak for most people, it's just, you know, the anxiousness to get ready to play games again. I mean, that's the biggest thing.
How fit are you?
Oh, I'm pretty fit. I mean, you know, the coaches might think otherwise, seeing me gassed today, but no, I feel pretty good. You know, they're working us like crazy out there, and right. It's good. I mean, we're gonna be the fittest team in the league, that's for sure.
Carl, like, couldn't you just hear like a scene from like a movie, you know, with like Frank DeBoer? Do it. Run again, you know, do it again. So, yeah, I mean, obviously everybody is, for the most part, it's a young squad with Atlanta United, but how is everybody taken to, like, the training under these circumstances?
Yeah, I mean, everybody, that's the thing is with a young squad, I mean, a lot of these guys have a lot of high-level experience, but whenever you have a bunch of younger guys, we're pretty adaptable to what you have going on, you know, to what – That's a really good and positive thing because you just go with the punches, you go with what's going on. So I think with everything that's going on, everybody's gonna be ready, you know, everybody's staying pretty positive, and no matter what the circumstances may be, we're ready to get back after it and show what we got. So just ready to get back on top. That's it.
J.J. Williams, our guest here on Dukes and Bell. It is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. He is with Atlanta United. I want to – so you're coming out of high school, and you've got offers to go play soccer. You know Kentucky's a basketball school. And I'm just curious, like, you didn't want to go somewhere where you could be like the BMOC, even though you got all this great recognition and you're one of the best players in the country. But you went to Kentucky where all the basketball players get recognized, right? Was that difficult or it wasn't a big deal?
No, so whenever I was – you know, there was a bunch of big schools, you know, Indiana, Louisville, and – there's just tons. I mean, it goes on and on. But the reason why I picked Kentucky was because, you know, you could go to these schools, Indiana, I don't know if there's 12 or 13 national titles, something like that. And there are a bunch of these schools that they're just known for winning, you know. And I knew it would mean a lot if we could bring something to Kentucky because that was a program that I saw growing. It had some players that were going to enter the league or go on to play the next level. And I knew the potential was there. So just being able to bring a program up from nothing, and you know, now you see the team is starting to really, really make their mark in history, and you know, they're continuing to get in the NCAA tournament, continuing to get these big time recruits in. So just being able to really start a program and put them out there, put them on the map. I mean, you know, if you win national championship at one of these bigger schools, it's going to be, you know, 13 out of however many. If you win one, you know, Kentucky's a big school, but for them that haven't had soccer, you know, known, if you win that one, you know, as far as you know, it could be the only one. So just being able to put that first out there would be great.
Well, J.J., we appreciate you coming on the show. And, I know you're going to be busy the next couple of weeks, but we'd love to get you on again, man. I have a local kid who hopefully have some great success this year. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
There he is, guys. We'll see more of him, hopefully, on the pitch. J.J. Williams, Mike, great personality. Kid's got a bright future, hopefully. And seriously, kid can play. I mean, we didn't get a chance to see a lot of him, as we said, but he's got a bright future. Hey, coming up, NFL Blitz is on the way. J.J. Watt says, I don't need a new deal. Is he crazy?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.